Welcome to the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We hope our broadcast will bless you.
Happy Mother's Day. Nice to see the corsages and the smile on mothers' faces. And oh, this is one of those high Sabbaths when you get to celebrate Mother's Day. And one of the things I thought of, I says, how come Sabbath morning and Mother's Day, men get up and give the sermons on something they don't know anything about? Well, I thought what I would do is to give you a little bit of my credentials on why I can speak on this topic. Ardith and I had our fourth one. I should say Ardith did. Weston. Now, with Weston, there were some decisions that we had to make, and that was, as usual, we were involved with Pathfinders, so therefore we had a discussion on whether or not I should go on the camperee or not go on the camperee. And the usual artist style is, go on the camperee, I can take care of this end of it, and so forth. So I went on the camperee, so off I went. When I got back, I headed for the hospital to pick up Ardith and our new baby, Weston. However, when I arrived at the maternity ward, I was greeted by her sister, Jerry, who had a long face, and a father with a baby and a mother in the hospital and sees a long face, my heart sank. I says, oh, what has gone wrong? Because it looked like it was going to be bad news. And of course, my mind went into high gear of all the catastrophes that can befall the Tate family at that particular point. Well, the problem was an x-ray. Back in those days, they used to give x-rays for TB and just to make sure. And Ardith had a fuzziness around one of the spots in one of her lungs. So Ardith was in a room by herself, and Weston was isolated also from all of the rest of the babies. Of course, what happens here, the doctor tells me that Ardith needs to go to Ann Arbor into the TB ward, and that meant that I had the baby and the three children to look after. Well, the Midland Church, in its generosity, had a whole bunch of volunteers to take care of the children. And what I did, I decided, and Ardith and I decided, Eula Thomas, she was right on my way home from work, and that would work. And so I had plenty of volunteers, but Eula, and also to take care of the baby day and night as well. Well, I decided that taking care of a baby shouldn't be that much of a job. I see several of you laughing. And you were right. I found out that being a mother is not an easy job. But nevertheless, I decided that I would go ahead and I would try it. And it didn't take me too long to realize that a mother's work is not a walk in the park by a long shot. Set up the baby crib beside ours, and I checked on the cloth diapers, by the way. No disposable diapers back in those days, and the powder and the bibs and the formula and the towels and the washcloths and all of the stuff. Man, oh man, I looked like a menagerie out there with all the stuff I had for this one little baby. But one thing I did learn, too, that babies have more than two legs, and they got more than two arms, or at least it sure seemed like it every time I went to change those diapers. And then you got these safety pins. You know, you didn't have the old things like you ladies have today. Anyway, we had safety pins. And you try to put a safety pin, get those diapers all the way around where they're supposed to be without getting the baby, is not an easy task. But anyway, I learned, you know, how to do that and how to clean the diaper that had more things in it than you wanted. But I tell you, one thing I was blessed at, though, and that was Eula had, and I, and especially Eula had set up, and this Weston was one of these children that liked to be fed at certain times. So, of course, you got to check the formula, make sure it's not too hot. And, of course, the first time I did it, had it too hot. I go like this, ooh, that's not going to work. Had to cool it down, then heat it up, cool it down, whatever. Tried to get it about the right temperature. So, but it worked out so that just before I went to bed, I could give Weston the bottle. And, of course, I don't know who was sleeping most of the time, but you ladies are good at this. But anyway, I'm sitting here like this, you know, trying to stay awake, especially the 2 o'clock feeding. 6 a.m. wasn't so bad, but the 2 o'clock one, that was really a tough one. But it worked out that the schedule was 2 a.m. in the morning and then 6 a.m. In the morning also. I fed the kids, got them off the school, dropped Weston at Eula's, headed to work. This routine went on for several weeks while Ardeth took up knitting in the hospital. Ardeth will tell you her own story on knitting in the hospital, on thumbs that were about this long on the mitts, you know, type of deal. Found out that wasn't so. Anyway, and she was bored to death. You know, active Ardeth, because she felt great. So here she is. She's there. I'm back anyway. But then it happened. All did not go well. Everything started out as usual. Fed Weston just before before I went to bed. And the next thing I knew, I woke up and it was daylight. What happened to 2 a.m. in the morning? Where is the kid? I jumped out of bed. I mean, I almost was like a springboard. I go, boing! And headed for the crib. You know, the poor kid's dead or something has happened, you know. There he was, just as happy as could be. What a relief. I don't know how you ladies ever held up going through all those children, but anyway. I thought he had died, but he was there just as happy as could be, beautiful blue eyes, big smile, and I'm going, the kid is still alive. So anyway, I do have some experience with children. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, oh, what a blessing it is, the way that you made each one of us, and the special gifts that you've given to mothers, gifts of kindness, smiles, thoughts, deep love that only you can understand. We pray now that you'll be near to us as we take a look and try to understand and carry the responsibility of parenthood. Amen. Before I get into the message, though, there's some interesting information I thought that you might be interested in. By the time a child reaches 18, a mother has worked some extra 18,000 hours that was just generated by children. 18,000 hours. That's a lot of time. Mothers pray a lot. Sometimes they pray out of necessity. Sometimes they pray because motherhood is not easy. James Dobson tells a story about when he came home when his son Ryan was a small baby. It had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan had been sick and cried all day long. Once, as she was changing the diapers, the phone rang, and Shirley reached over to answer the phone before fastening up his diapers. Just then, Ryan had an attack of diarrhea. She cleaned up the mess, put him in clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she took him into the living room and fed him. As she was burping him, he threw up. All over himself, all over her, and all over the couch. Dobson writes, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere. Shirley cried out to him, 'Was all of this in my contract?' There was a father, and you can sort of picture this. There was a father who was trying to explain the concept of marriage to his 4-year-old daughter. He got out the wedding album, thinking that visual images would help, and explained the entire wedding service to her. When he finished, he asked if she had any questions. She pointed to the picture in the wedding party and asked, 'Daddy, is that when Mommy came to work for us?'" Some mothers probably think that too, I'll tell you. And work, you mothers do. You are teachers. You are disciplinarians. You are cleaning ladies. You are nurses. You are doctors, psychologists, counselor, chauffeur, and sometimes even a coach. You can picture this. In fact, one time Artis sent me, well, several times she's done this, but anyway, sent me out on errands. I never realized how much time it takes to do a simple errand. By the time you get into the car, go uptown, do this, do that, do that, next thing I knew, my whole day was gone. Finally, I get back home, and the artist says, "Well, did you get everything done?" "Yeah, but it took me the entire day." She just grinned. "Thank you. I got the message." Ralph Waldo Emerson made this statement: "Men are what mothers make them." And then there's also an old Spanish proverb that says, and I thought this was interesting, "1 ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy." 1 ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. And I think we can relate to that, and I think we'd all agree with it. Mothers are the soft voice saying, "I love you. I love you. No matter what happens, I love you." Also, and I think we can all relate to this as well, mothers are the child's first impression of God's love. There are many mothers mentioned in the Bible. Jesus' mother Mary, who saw, and this is one that I've thought on several times, Jesus' mother Mary, when she was before the cross, did you ever think of the pain that she went through, realizing that she could not give him comfort? That he couldn't rest his head on her shoulder? The love of a mother. Also, King Solomon, you remember the story of the woman? There were two women for the wanting this one baby. And he was going to cut the baby in half. What did the mother do? The true mother said, "Let the other woman have him." She loved him that much that she would be willing to give him up. And the king obviously knew who the real mother was. And this one I didn't even know. I didn't even remember. The mother of King Lemuel, L-E-M-U-E-L, who gave some advice to his son about godly living and how to pick a good wife. And that's found in Proverbs 31. The mothers from the Bible will be the only mothers that I'm going to choose this time to stress is going to be a grandmother, a mother, and a boy. Who is it? A grandmother, a mother, and a boy. Pardon?
Timothy.
That's right. So we're going to spend time with him. This is a story, as we all know, of Paul, and it is in a reaction with the family. But the influence here of the grandmother, the mother, upon Timothy. And what a blessing that boy turned out to be because of the time that they had spent with him. One thing I would like to do as we take a look at this story, and that is to realize that all three of these, all of them working together, had a great influence upon him. One day a preacher named Paul came to the town of Lystra and spoke about a man named Jesus. Both Lois and Eunice listened intently. They saw in Jesus the fulfillment of the promise of the Old Testament and put their trust in him. And they were converted. They in turn focused their teaching on Timothy and told him all about who Jesus was. We're going to draw three different passages from the scriptures, two of which are found in Paul's second letter to Timothy, and the third is found in Acts, to show how a mother, a grandmother, and Paul made a spiritual impact upon Timothy. So let us turn to 2 Timothy and the third chapter and verses 12, 13, 14, and 15. And this is what Paul writes to Timothy. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So he's telling Timothy that this is not going to be easy. Also, he says, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. By you, most continue in the things which you have learned. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of knowing from whom you have learned them. Okay, two things going on here. One of them is that Timothy has learned things from the mother, from the grandmother, and also from Paul. And he's reminding him, remember these things. Don't forget them. Be assured, because you know who they came from. Be confident in the people. And they did. Timothy had a lot of confidence in his mother, his grandmother, and also Paul. And then number 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Jesus Christ. So one of the things which the mothers did, the grandmother and the mother and Paul, they preached, they taught from the Scriptures. And that's one of the things which I was going to do this morning with the young people, and that is tell the story from the Scriptures. How well does your children know the Scriptures? How well do you know the Scriptures? And this goes for both male, female, whoever it happens to be. And one of the things which I'd like to bring to your attention, I hope I don't embarrass them too much, But that is that Ardeth and I remember so well little Debbie Shell. And she would take and stand up here, just a little tot, and she would take and do the whole quarter's memory verses and not miss one. How many of us could do that? I can't, but I'm just saying. But, you know, what a difference it made, because they went over them, and what a blessing it was to her and all to us who listened to her repeat these memory verses. Mothers, it's never too early to start teaching the Bible to your children. And it's never too late to start, or at least to try. What kind of Bible reading are your children seeing? This is for both mothers and fathers. Do they see lots of it, little of it, or none? Teach your children the joy of Bible study, and with it, they will gain the respect for the Scriptures. And that's one of the things I was going to do originally. One of the stories, which I enjoy very much, and I was going to read to the children. And by the way, Brad, thank you very much for your help coming in at the last minute, and I appreciated it. And that was the story of Hannah. I love that story of a woman who prayed and prayed and prayed for a child. And she was willing to give the child back to God, who God gave to her. What a sacrifice on her part. Something she desired all of her life. And she was willing to give back to God. And that's one of my favorite stories. So young people, you had your favorite stories. I have mine as well. And that's one of them. Let's turn to 2 Timothy again and go to chapter 1. Now, the reason for going here is that Paul, again, is writing to Timothy. And you will notice here that he says to Timothy, "To Timothy, a beloved son." And Paul brings this out over and over again, where he says the great love that he has for Timothy. And this is also in verse 3. He says, "I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day, gently desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I come to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also." Genuine love. Genuine conversion. How do we demonstrate conversion? How do you demonstrate it at home, parents? How do we do it? We need to demonstrate our faith consistently by reading the Bible, praying, attending worship, bringing our children to Sabbath school and children and programs at church. We send a strong message of the need for the church family and a strong relationship with Jesus Christ. Our young people see it in us, folks. They see it in us. We either show it or we do not, and they can see it. As one person says, "Show me a sermon anytime." That's what they want to see. Brian Bill, in his sermon, Mothers Who Love, writes this: "The mother is more interested in..." Now, this is the one who has true faith, and this is what she says, what he says: "her children's souls than in their body or in their clothes, her children's eternal life than success in this life, her children's relationship with Jesus than their popularity in the world, her children standing before God than their social status, her children's spirituality than their intelligent intellectual achievements, musical or athletic accomplishments. Timothy's family environment was fertile for his faith development. Both his mother and grandmother held their faith deeply and shared it freely. Now let us turn to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts 16. Boy, I'm really finding that one fast. Okay, Acts 16, and I need verses 1 through 3. Verse 16, 1. Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, and he was named Timothy. Notice here that Paul is referring to him as a disciple, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but whose father was a Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were in Lystra, in Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in the region, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. So Paul loved Timothy very much. Timothy was willing to be circumcised, and at that age, that is a very painful operation. But he was willing to do it so the work would progress. The other day, Brenda's not here. Tony, you may not even know this. The other day, Brenda stopped by the Adventist Community Service Center. Hayden saw the older men carrying out bags of clothing and boxes. And what did you want to do, Hayden? You wanted to help, didn't you? So he wanted to help. He politely asked if he could help, and we said yes. And he helped bring in the lady's items that she wanted brought in. Thanks again, Hayden. Appreciate that. But he was willing to help. In fact, Brenda said, well, is there anything else you could have him do? Well, we hadn't planned on it, and you don't know when the next car is going to come in. But I really appreciated it. To me, it showed that he was willing to do it. He wasn't asked to do it. He just took it on and said, you know, I'd like to do this. Doing the Lord's work, because it's very, very important that we teach our children young to help out. Paul needed someone to go with him, and Timothy was eager to be a minister. He knew it meant leaving home. He knew it meant facing hardship, yet he was eager to go. In Philippians 2:20, Paul letter writes, I have no one else like him. I have no one else like him? That's a compliment. Who takes a genuine interest in your welfare. Paul called Timothy own son, beloved son. Mothers, part of our job, your job, and all of us working together is to instill a respect for the Bible. Another is to install into our children true faith. There's Charles Wesley. There's a story told about the Wesley brothers and their mother, who was the mother of 17. Now, take a look at what she was able to accomplish. Two of which were John and Charles Wesley. She spent 1 hour each day praying for her children. In addition, she took each child aside for a full hour each week to discuss spiritual matters. No wonder her children were used by God to bring a blessing to England and much of America. There are some parenting guidelines that helped Mrs. Wesley, and this is what they were. Listen carefully. Subdue self-will in a child, and thus work together with God to save his soul or their soul. Teach the child to pray as soon as they can speak. Give a child nothing he cries for, and only that which is good for him, if he asks for it politely. To prevent lying, punish no fault which is freely confessed, but never allow rebellious, sinful acts to go unnoticed. Commend and reward good behavior. Strictly, and this is one that's important, strictly observe all promises that you have made to your child. Summary for mothers, and I'm going to include fathers as well. Pray. Teach and show respect for the scriptures. Teach and demonstrate real, authentic, genuine faith. And finally, lead and practice ministry to others. There's a couple stories. There's one story I'm going to bring out here. I'd even debated whether or not to do it, but I think I will, because it demonstrates, again, the wonderful love of mothers. Out of World War II, the story is told of Solomon Rosenberg and his family. They were victims of the Holocaust, which took the lives of millions of people. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp. The rules were very simple. As long as you can do your work, you are permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, you will be exterminated. Rosenberg watched his mother and father being marched off to their deaths, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David. David had always been frail. He was a sickly boy. Every evening, Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor and searched for the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, embrace one another, and thank God for another day. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see the familiar faces. He finally discovered his oldest son, Joshua, in the corner, huddled, weeping, and praying. Rosenberg said, "Josh, tell me, it's not true." Josh turned and said, "It is true, Papa. It is true." Today, David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him. "But where's your mother?" asked Mr. Rosenberg. "Oh, Papa," Josh said. "When they came for David, he was afraid and he cried." Mama said, "There is nothing to be afraid of, David." And she took his hand and went with him. A mother's love. Always remember that there is nothing to be afraid of, brothers and sisters, when Jesus takes our hand and leads us through life. There is one God, there is one Savior, Jesus Christ our Lord. I want to close this morning's worship with a poem, "My Mother." Your love I know, I've seen your tears. You've given me my life. You've walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife. To see that I could have the best that you could give to me and give up needs and often rest, your view of eternity. To do his will is my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. To spite your love, I would not dare, for there is not another who spends her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother. May the Lord bless you on this Mother's Day, you mothers, fathers, and children. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast from the Midland Seventh-day Adventist Church at 2420 East Ashman in Midland, Michigan. If you are in the area, we cordially invite you to visit our church Saturday mornings. If you are a distance away, we encourage you to continue visiting our website and weekly podcast at midlandsda.org.